up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, and thanks for joining me on this week's episode of New Horizons. Before we get into the main subject of today's program, a reminder from Janine Sadu, the president of the National Women's Branch of Blind Citizens Australia. Their AGM is coming up on the 3rd of November. It'll be held via teleconference at 11 a.m. That's Eastern Daylight Saving Time. If you'd like to RSVP or you'd like to find out more information, get in touch with Janine, nwb@bca.org.au, nwb@bca.org.au. Or I'm sure you could just contact the BCA head office and they will either put you through to Janine or have her call you back if you need to have any discussions. Jonathan Mosen is known to most of us around the world for his work with ACB Radio and Freedom Scientific, Humanware and others, as well as more recently from his Blindside podcast and his work on books such as iOS Without the Eye and things like that. He's taken on a new role. He joins me on the program now. Welcome to the program.
Nice to be talking to you, Vaughan.
You have a long history in the adaptive technology and communications industry. Perhaps you could just give us a potted history of your biography.
Well, I've been using assistive technology for a long time. I guess my first assistive technology goes back to the Opticon in the 1970s and cassette-based braille displays in the 80s. But in terms of my career, technologically speaking, I guess my first major foray into this was founding ACB Radio and starting the Main Menu program. And from there, I went to Pulse Data International, which was rebranded as Humanware, and I was in charge of the blindness products there. So the Brownode Empower and PK and the first Brailliant were my projects. And then in 2006, moved to Freedom Scientific, where I've had various roles with them over the last 12 years. But in 2013, also took a little bit of a step back and started my own technology instruction and web design company called Mosen Consulting. And now here I am starting with Aira.
Aira's been pretty game-changing for you. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that I'm just so excited about taking on this role is the impact that Aira has had on my life. So I suppose I've become a bit evangelistic about it, and I'd like to do something to ensure that it has the same impact on other people's lives. I first used Aira when they had Aira Access available at CSUN, the big technology conference in the United States in March. And I like going to those conferences, but I also dread going to them because I have a hearing impairment. I wear hearing aids, and in very noisy environments, it can be quite difficult to navigate. And they don't come much noisier than CSUN because the hotel is massive, as some of those American hotels are. There are thousands of people there, and it's just really difficult to navigate, I think, for anybody, but certainly with a hearing impairment. I wasn't really expecting much because I've been around in technology a lot, and I know that technology often overpromises. But they had it for free, and so I picked up my phone. You know, I downloaded the app and set it up, and I picked up my phone and I decided I'll give this a go. And I said to Aira, can you guide me from my room, my hotel room, all the way to the exhibit hall, which is through the elevator, down some more stairs, and a massive walk through this hotel. And it was such a contrast from what I had been expecting. It was a stress-free experience. We avoided people. We avoided obstacles. I got descriptions of facets of the hotel I didn't even realize existed. We got to the exhibit hall where I needed to go way ahead of time because I'd budgeted a lot of time to have trouble getting there. And when I got there, the exhibit hall door was closed, and the icing on the cake was the agent said, okay, I can see the door is closed right now, but to your left, there's a counter. And behind that counter, which is labeled Exhibit Hall Services, there's a man there, and I'll guide you to him. And I mean, that is the only time that any piece of technology has ever made me cry. I'll be full disclosure about that, because it had just been such a game-changing experience, and I knew that my life would never be the same again after that.
It's remarkable, isn't it? Because I've been reading about Aira for some time, and it wasn't until I actually used it that I really understood. You know, we all know that you call up an agent and they will talk you through what's going on, but you don't really understand what that means until you actually experience it.
No, I completely agree with that. And I had interviewed people from IRA on my Blindside podcast last year. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know. But you're right. Actually experiencing this and then incorporating it into your life is an experience. And so it's not just knowing how to use the technology. It's understanding how the technology can change your life. Because for a while when I started to use IRA full time, I would be reluctant. I think, do I really need to make this call, or am I bothering IRA needlessly, or am I perhaps doing something that I could do myself? And I realized a couple of things. Firstly, I'm not bothering anybody because I'm paying for this thing, and IRA actually wants me to get in touch with them and justify their existence. But secondly, you know, as a business owner as I was then, my time is just as important and valuable as anybody else's. And if I can save time by summoning what somebody in New Zealand has coined site as a service, which I think is a pretty interesting expression, then why not? You know, it's there. It's a great use of technology. So it does involve a big mindset change, I think, to use IRA to the fullest.
I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that for so many years we've had to ask sighted people for assistance with simple things, and we're used to not wanting to bother people. And I think you're right, a mindset change is exactly what's needed in this case, because IRA is there, they've got people there 24 hours a day to provide the service, the precise service that that you've talked about, and the precise service that so many of us have needed and continue to need over the years.
Yes, the implications of this are enormous. In the first instance, you know, I have four sighted children and I try not to be reliant on them. But the fact is that if you've got a pair of working eyes around the place, you do sort of go up and say, would you mind telling me what's on the screen when my computer's not talking, or read this piece of print, or any number of things like that. So it's nice to be able to restore the balance in those relationships. But also in an employment context, blind people tend to stockpile tasks, and sometimes you can get funding for somebody to come to your office or your home or whatever's necessary for a couple of hours a week or something like that, and you've got this pile of inaccessible stuff to do, be it print or some website that's not behaving or some app that's not behaving, and you get through that big list. So the implications for productivity for blind people and greater employability in the workplace are enormous, because you've got that service that you can summon on demand and get the job done right away and not be holding anybody up.
And even for the strangest things, I think one of the first times that I used IRA was when I got hold of, from eBay, a mini disc recorder that I'd had 15 years ago, and I couldn't remember the menu structure, and I was able to get them to remind me of how to use it.
I've had things like that as well. My wife, Bonnie, is currently doing a journalism course and she majored in radio. And so I bought her this audio interface. And when I got it, I was thinking I'll do what I normally do, sort of plug things into sockets randomly and work out which are the inputs and which are the outputs and then play with the knobs and just do it by a process of elimination. And instead, I called IRA and we got it done in probably a quarter of the time that it would have taken me. And the icing on the cake was we had some audio issues with that audio interface, getting it to talk nicely to Windows, and they had a completely inaccessible control panel in Windows to make the tweaks that were needed. And so IRA logged in with TeamViewer into Bonnie's computer where I was setting this up, and we went through the controls. But the nice thing is, at the end of it, I had a cheat sheet, because I asked the agent to write down carefully the order of all the sockets and the knobs and what she was actually doing in the control panel. And I have that cheat sheet to refer to. So, gosh, you know, I could go on forever about how many game-changing experiences I've had. Even things like navigating the massive Terminal 7, the United Terminal at LA International Airport recently, where I did the whole thing from check-in to getting to my gate to finding that my plane was delayed to saying, okay, let's get some food. We wandered off. We found some good low-carby salad stuff. They then found somewhere for me to sit and eat that food, the only free table in the vicinity. And then we got back to my gate. Now, before IRA, once I'd safely gotten to the gate, I would have just sat there and listened to podcasts and waited for the time to tick by. So it's changed my life.
Mm. Now, you're going to be working with IRA starting on the 15th. What's your title?
It's a nice American title. It's Vice President for Australasia and Explorer Communications. So I think the Australasia one's, you know, self-explanatory. I'm responsible for IRA in this part of the world. And there's a global component to this too, sort of looking after new communications initiatives and making sure that IRA's getting the word out there.
It sounds like something you're perfectly suited to. I know it's early days yet, but what are you thinking will be your first moves as part of your new role?
Hopefully breathing through my nose and learning a lot, because obviously I've been a consumer of the service and I want to understand things from the inside and listen to a lot of people to learn what's going well and where we can improve, because anything can be improved. But certainly initially I'd like to reach out to friends in Australia and see what we can do about IRA access locations and NDIS and some of those important things, because I want to make IRA more available to more people. So NDIS and some and IRA access, those initiatives are very important. We're already making our presence felt. For example, I have ensured that the A11Y Camp Conference in Melbourne will be an IRA access location for those attending that, and also the BCA State Convention, the New South Wales State Convention, is going to be an IRA access location, and I'll be speaking at that as well. So people will immediately start to see IRA ramping up its presence in this part of the world.
I think that's terrific. It's been available for about 6 months or so in Australia, and I understand in New Zealand as well. And I know that there are quite a number of people who've taken it up already. Do you have any idea of what the take-up has been?
I don't have any specific numbers at this point, no. And it's been a fairly soft launch in this part of the world at this point. And yet it just kind of tends to sell itself because it's such a impactful service. So certainly I think one of the big priorities is IRA access. And for those not familiar with the term, the idea here is that for certain sorts of businesses, typically things like airports, supermarkets, other kinds of stores, the business owner funds the IRA service when you're in specific locations. And that means that anybody can download the free app from the iOS App Store or Google Play. And when you're in those locations, IRA just works, even if you're not signed up for an IRA monthly plan yourself.
I think that's a really good initiative, and I know it's taken off quite significantly in the United States with AT&T stores and various supermarket chains and all sorts of places becoming IRA access locations. I look forward to seeing that happen a lot more here. Have you got some specific targets in mind at the moment?
I do have some specific targets in mind, and it's probably not appropriate for me to be too specific here before approaching the people concerned, but there are some pretty obvious places where we would like to see IRA made available to anybody who needs it. And certainly, I welcome suggestions from people about that. You're welcome to drop me an email. My new address is active at jonathan.mosen@ira.io, and I'm really pleased to hear from anybody in Australia who has ideas about what we can do to make the service more meaningful in this area.
Jonathan, thanks once again for joining us on New Horizons.
It's a pleasure, and we'll look forward to staying in touch over the coming years.
Jonathan Mosen there, new Vice President of Explorer Communications and Australasia with IRA. If you'd like to know more about IRA, you can have a look at their website. It's AIRA.io. AIRA.io, or you can listen to episode 565 of New Horizons, where I speak with Emma Bennison about our use of IRA over the last 6 months or so. If you'd like to check out IRA for yourself, you can go to the New South Wales ACT State Convention. It's coming up at the end of October, so not this coming weekend, but the one after. The New South Wales ACT Convention happening in Newcastle. It will be an IRA access location, and Jonathan Mosen will be speaking at that convention. So, as I said, if you want to have a go at IRA for yourself, then make sure you register quickly for that convention. Blind Citizens Australia relies on donations from its members and from the community at large. If you'd like to donate to Blind Citizens Australia, if you've got a little bit to spare this month, then get in touch with the head office. Also, you can have a look at the website. There's plenty of information about donating there. And there's also lots of information about blindness and vision impairment and issues which affect people who are blind or vision impaired, or their families or people who work with them, etc. bca.org.au is the web address, bca.org.au. That all-important telephone number is 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks once again for your company. See you next time.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. of our dreams.